Moncrief on News Talk
with the Dacia Duster. Shockingly affordable, and now with 3 months deferred payments too.
We need to take our minds off the dark times we're living in and consider the future. For instance, how will the universe end? It's probably trillions of years away, but there are various theories as to how it will happen. Astrophysicist Katie Mack outlines them in her book, The End of Everything, and she joins us now on News Talk. Afternoon, Katie.
Hi, how are you doing?
Now, one question. Is it absolutely 100% certain that the universe started, that it hasn't been here the whole time?
Well, there are a lot of theories about where the universe came from. We know that the kind of space that we're in did start about 13.8 billion years ago. There may have been something before that, but when we use the astronomical observations, we can tell that there was a time 13.8 billion years ago when the universe was very hot, very dense, and very different than it is now, and it's been sort of growing and cooling since then.
Right. Now, and when you say it was very different to the way it is now, in what sense very different?
Well, it was smaller in some sense, so it's been expanding since then. It was the all of space was full of hot, boiling sort of plasma at the very, very beginning. And the laws of physics were a little bit different. We have ways of determining how the laws of physics have changed since the very beginning. And in the first sort of millisecond of the universe, there were different rules about, you know, how particles interacted and how the forces of nature worked. So we know that the universe went through a transition in the first few, you know, tiny fractions of a second to set up the conditions for how space works right now.
You could say that we have an age for the universe in the form it's in now, but we can't say that was the start of everything. There may have been something else.
There could have been something before that, yeah. I mean, our universe could have come out of the end of a previous universe, or we could have branched off of some larger space in some way. But when we talk about the beginning of the universe, we're generally talking about the beginning of, you know, the matter and energy and such that we experience right now.
Now, and I suppose that the theory people would be most familiar with being the Big Bang, that was some sort of explosion that flung out all the matter, and it's still in the process of getting further and further away from each other. So one of the theories that you deal with in the book is the Big Crunch, which is, I suppose, the opposite of that.
Yeah. So the Big Bang was an event that set off this expansion of the universe. The Big Crunch would be what happens if the expansion at some point stops and turns around and everything starts, you know, getting closer together again. And that's something that for a long time was thought to be the most likely end for the universe. Now we don't think it's the most likely, but it's still something we can't entirely rule out. It's an interesting possibility for a possible future evolution of the universe.
And what would cause that to happen? Would the galaxies flying away from each other eventually run out of energy and then something pulls them back?
Well, so when it was thought to be the most likely scenario, the way that they thought that it would happen is that just all the gravity of all the galaxies in the universe, everything's pulling on everything else. You know, everything has gravity and it tries to pull together. So when you have an expanding universe, that gravity kind of tries to slow it down. And so for a long time, it was thought that the universe was slowing down in its expansion and might at some point, you know, reverse the expansion just from the gravity. Now we know that there's something new in the universe, something different called dark energy that is making the expansion go faster. And so that can overcome that gravity, that can make the universe keep expanding forever. And we think that it will keep expanding forever. But we don't really know what dark energy is. So there's still a possibility that it could turn off or change its direction and change the evolution of the cosmos.
And when you say we don't know what dark energy is that just a way of referring to we don't know?
It's dark energy is all what we know about dark energy is it's the term we use for something that's making the universe expand faster, something that can stretch out space. But yeah, we don't know where it comes from. We don't know why it works. We don't know the sort of fundamental nature of it.
Now, and the second possible cause for the end of the universe, and correct me if I'm wrong, this is probably the most popular in... popular is probably the wrong word, but that everything will just kind of wear out and slowly extinguish.
Yeah. This is called the heat death. Now, when people hear the term heat death, they sometimes think that means, you know, fire and flames and heat. It really means it's sort of everything will kind of decay and wear out, and the universe will continue expanding forever and cooling and get emptier and darker. And what's left at the end of that process is a very empty universe with just a little bit of stray radiation that's just the waste heat of the whole process of the cosmos. So it's called the heat death because everything gets converted to disordered energy. We call that heat in physics, but it's just the sort of fading out of the cosmos. So we do think that that's the most likely thing to happen now.
Now, and the Big Rip then, is the Big Rip a kind of a variation on heat death, as in bits of the universe will wear out first?
Yeah, sort of. Well, the Big Rip is a scenario where you're sort of heading toward a heat death because everything's expanding, you know, the universe is expanding and things are getting farther apart. But dark energy, whatever it is, in the Big Rip scenario, gets more powerful over time. And instead of just moving galaxies away from each other and increasing the amount of empty space, it's actually pulling matter apart. So it pulls stars away from galaxies, it pulls planets away from stars, and then rips matter apart, like rips planets and atoms and things apart at the very end. So that's a sort of nightmare scenario for dark energy, where it just gets way too powerful and destroys everything.
Right. Okay. And would that destroy only larger bodies, or would that, you know, if there were still people on Earth or some other planet had creatures still on it, would they start to be pulled apart?
Yeah. So in this scenario, it would first start on the largest objects, but then it would get more, you know, to smaller and smaller things. So it would first get rid of clusters of galaxies and then solar systems and then planets. And then, you know, basically what would happen is that you'd have dark energy, this sort of expansive force building up within everything. And after a while, it would become powerful enough to break molecular bonds and tear apart, you know, atoms. And so it would be progressively, you know, worse and worse over time.
Right. Okay. Now, everything we've talked about so far will take trillions of years to happen. Vacuum decay, though, this could happen before the end of this interview.
Well, technically speaking, yeah. So the problem with vacuum decay is that it's a process that would depend on a quantum transition. And quantum things, if you study physics at all, you find out that they're not predictable directly. So you can't say exactly when something's going to happen if it's a quantum event.
And quantum, by quantum, we mean really, really small.
We mean something that's governed by the physics of the really, really small. Yeah. So when we talk about particles and waves, you know, there's some uncertainty with where things are, how they're moving and stuff like that. So on that only matters on the microscopic level in everyday life. But there's a possibility that the sort of physics of the universe is governed by this, by things that are happening on the microscopic level. And there could be a quantum transition in what's called the Higgs field, which is this set of energy field that is throughout all of space. And if it happened at one point in the universe, anywhere, just on this, you know, tiny quantum level, that could create a sort of cascade and cause a bubble of a different kind of space to form at that point. And that bubble would expand at about the speed of light and destroy the universe. And so it's an intriguing possibility because it's something that would happen on a quantum level, on a tiny microscopic level, but then would have consequences that would spread out through the entire cosmos. And it would be this totally unpredictable thing. Now, I don't want you to be nervous about it. A lot of people write me emails saying they're scared of vacuum decay. It's not something that is likely to happen anytime in the next, you know, 10 to the power of 100 years. So like a very, very, very long time from now. And even then, we're not sure that it can happen. But there is, you know, there's some intriguing evidence from, you know, experimental physics right now that suggests that maybe this is something that could happen in the future of the universe. And we wouldn't be able to predict exactly when or where. So there's always some possibility that it could happen sooner. But it's not something to worry about. I should emphasize.
What would be inside the bubble, though? Would that be another universe?
It would be a different kind of space. So it would be a little bubble of space that follows different laws of physics. So remember I mentioned that the early universe had very different laws of physics, different kinds of forces and particles. So this would be, so that was also because the Higgs field was different in that at that time. So this would be another sort of transition in this Higgs field. And so you would get a little bubble of a kind of space with different laws of physics. And so it would still be space, you know, but the particles would be different, the forces would be different, and we wouldn't be able to survive in that kind of space. And then also turns out that that space would also be gravitationally unstable. So if you ended up inside it, you would sort of collapse to a black hole. So it's not something you want to interact with.
Right. So you couldn't make a transition into that space at all.
Yeah. So it would be that kind of, the bubble would cause all of space to transition to be that kind of space. And that would be bad for anything living in the universe at the
time. Okay. And the last one, and this is my favorite in the sense that, you know, you could perhaps theorize that, you know, a load of astrophysicists just took acid one afternoon and came back with this. But explain what bounce is.
So bouncing cosmologies are a set of ideas where the universe transitions from a beginning to an end over and over again. So that's one possibility, is there could be a kind of crunch, you know, the universe could compress and then have a new Big Bang, or you could have a universe that cycles from a heat death to a new Big Bang and over again. So there are a number of different ideas people have come up with that have cycling universes, where, you know, each end of universe is the beginning of the next one. And there are, you know, it's these kinds of theories usually come out of trying to understand the beginning of the universe. So, you know, we don't know where our universe came from. There are a couple of ways of figuring out the conditions of the early universe by saying maybe we're the last stage of a previous universe, and that's what set up the conditions of our universe. So, you know, it's not totally arbitrary. Like we're not really just making this stuff up.
One version of it is that there's incredibly large membranes.
Yeah. So one version of it has our universe starting from the collision of two parallel universes through a higher dimensional space. Those ideas come out of string theory, really. So, you know, this is the idea that there are more dimensions of space than we can perceive. And by dimension, I just mean direction. You know, we have three dimensions in our space, you know, up, down, left, right, front, back. There could be another direction that we can't sort of visualize that our universe could exist in, and there could be another universe separated from us by that direction that could kind of collide with ours. And that was one of the first sort of serious ideas about bouncing universes, where it's literally, you know, universes bouncing off of each other through this higher dimensional space. And those, you know, those ideas are changing. That was sort of a previous version. There are new versions now, but there are a lot of interesting things you can think about in terms of possible cycles, possible previous universes, and it gets really kind of cool and exciting.
Yeah. Now, so as not to alarm listeners, of course, we should point out that we won't be around to see any of this because our solar system will have burned out long before any of this happens.
Yeah. I mean, generally speaking, you know, the end of the universe comes long after the end of the Earth, and the end of the Earth, you know, we've still got at least a billion years probably before the Earth is totally uninhabitable, and then a few billion after that before it's totally destroyed. So
okay.
We've got time.
Yeah. A billion ain't bad. Katie, thank you very much for speaking with us today. That was Katie Mack. She's an astrophysicist and the author of The End of Everything. But we do have a billion years to go. And just on that note, no connection between that and this, Dermot Bannon will be joining here on The Hard Shoulder this evening. You are listening to The Moncrief Show on News Talk. We're going to take a break. After that, The Gay Rodeo.
Moncrief on News Talk.
With the Dacia range. Drive away today with no payments for the first 3 months.